We serve a God of abundance, yet you're still living paycheck to paycheck. We serve a God of order, yet your house always seems to be a mess. You feel unappreciated and overwhelmed just trying to keep up. Does the noise of life drown out the voice of God? Hi, my name is Gina Morton, a Catholic wife, mom, and declutter coach. Welcome to Pruning to Prosper, the podcast where we talk about all the practical things to run your home smoothly. Clutter, money, mindset, and yes, everyone still wants to eat, so we'll talk about that too. That nagging in your heart is God telling you He has more for you than just trying to keep up. If you're ready to get uncomfortable, get brave, and see what you can do, then grab your garden shears because you're about to prune away the stuff so you can prosper into the woman God has called you to be.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pruning to Prosper. I'm your host, Gina Morton, and this is the podcast where we prune away all the stuff that's standing between you and the woman that God has called you to be. I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes look at this podcast episode today. It is 10:55 p.m. on Tuesday night, and my podcast comes out at 5 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. And this podcast has been in the works since about 5:30 this morning when I prayed my rosary. So I pray my rosary every day. Since the September Rosary Group, I don't think I've missed a day. I just love it. I think it's been just transformative in my life. And if you're not in the habit of praying the rosary daily, there's nothing I can recommend to you more than doing so. As I was praying the rosary, so when I'm going to put out my Wednesday episodes, I usually spend a lot of time in prayer, just kind of asking God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to focus on? Like, not just like, what do you want me to say, but how do you want me to say it? Do you want me to be sweet little Gina and kind and kind of hand-holding, or do you want me to be firm Gina and say, like, come on, guys, get it together? And so today, as I was praying my rosary, I was like, God, I need help pulling together a topic, and it's Holy Week, and I've had a lot of thoughts about the passion and the carrying of the cross. And I love praying the Sorrowful Rosary. And again, I cannot say enough about the group in September that did the Sorrowful Rosary. It was just really, really incredible. And one of the lessons, I guess you could say, that I learned in that September group was we spent the first 3 weeks kind of going through each sorrow. Okay, really diving deep into what was going on, what the Blessed Mother must have been feeling, how it related to our lives. And I thought, or at least my plan for the fourth week was to try to find the good in the suffering and see if we couldn't, you know, kind of look for what God was doing. But as a group, we all kind of decided that, like, we didn't want to look for the good. We just wanted to sit with our Blessed Mother in her sorrows. And we all just decided that that's okay, that we don't always have to look for the good, and that we can just kind of sit with her in her sorrows. So today, it's Tuesday, it's the Sorrowful Mysteries. I was praying the rosary, and the phrase that came to me was, share in the redemption of the world. And I thought, okay, where is that from? Why do I know that phrase? So, of course, I hit the Google, and I thought for sure it was a prayer. So if any of you know where this phrase has come from, please send me a message. But Google all day long did not work. And so then, of course, I go to my girls. And the latest text thread on my phone is the girls that just finished up the winter Pruning to Prosper course. So I thought, let me ask the girls what they think. So I said, girls, where did I get this phrase? Is it from a prayer? I looked at the order of mass because I thought it was maybe in the mass. And they're like, no, we can't figure it out either. Colleen even asked her priest today. He didn't know what it was from. And I just couldn't get it out of my head all day. You know, let us share in the work of redemption. And I just thought like, okay, I don't know where you want me to go with this, God. So that's why it's so late at night, is because it is really taking me all day to figure out what I want to say, what God wants me to say. And I was on vacation last week in Colorado, and I read the book He Leadeth Me by Walter Cizek. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It is just an incredible book. And if any of you are reading it, or you'd like to read it and you'd like to do a little like Friday night book club, definitely drop me a message, because it is, I don't know if it's just the time in my life. You know how sometimes like you read a book and you're just like, that's the greatest book ever. And then a couple years later, you look back and you're like, why did I think that was such a great book? I don't know if it's because it's just I needed to read this right now or what, but it is a really, really good book. And the entire book is really about surrendering to the will of God and how it's very easy to say, you know, thy will be done. And, you know, Father Cizek, he worked in Siberian prison camps for, I think it was like 23 years or something like that. And, you know, but first he spent, I think it was 5 years in what had been kind of like a hotel, but don't think of it as a nice hotel. It was like, it was prison, but it just happened to be in a building that wasn't a prison. So it was really just isolation for 5 years. And it's really where he decided wholeheartedly that he was going to trust the will of God. And that's when his life really began to change. And, you know, it's kind of easy sometimes to say this stuff when you're isolated, when there's nothing of the outside world testing you. And it wasn't until he was released from that prison that he was kind of put back into society, and he really had to struggle with doing the will of God every single day. And I think I've referenced it before about the transfiguration, that, you know, that's like the perfect time, right? They were up there, and Peter's like, let's just build 3 tents and call it a day, God. Let's just stay here. Like, and Jesus is like, no, we need to go back down there, and we need to be of this world, and we've got work to do. And so I think sometimes it's easy to say we trust the will of God, but then when we're really put to the test, it's like, well, I trust you, but I really kind of want it my way. So anyway, I really struggled today with pulling this podcast together, and I don't want to just read the book, He Leadeth Me, but it's really hard for me to sum up what I want to say better than what's in this book. So if you have the book, I'm going to read from page 122, where he talks about why is it that Jesus had to come, and why did God inflict pain and suffering on him and on those of us that follow him? And the gist of it is, the reason that Christ's life and suffering were redemptive is because he needed to come and restore the original order because of that original sin that was that order, our relationship between God and man was destroyed in that original sin. And why was sin brought into the world? Was because Adam and Eve didn't fully trust the will of God. So it's all really tied together. I'll read from the book here. His perfect obedience to the Father's will, this is referring to Jesus, that he came to restore that original, that relationship destroyed by sin. His perfect obedience to the Father's will redeemed man's first and continuing disobedience to that will. Quote, all creation, said St. Paul, groans and labors up till now. awaiting Christ's redemptive effort to restore the proper relationship between God and his creation. But Christ's redemptive act did not of itself restore all things. It simply made the work of redemption possible. It began our redemption. Just as all men share in the disobedience of Adam, so all men must share in the obedience of Christ to the Father's will. Redemption will be complete only when all men share his obedience. So the world has not changed overnight, and it is the world in which we seek to follow Christ's example that afflicts us as it afflicted him. It is not the Father, not God, who inflicts suffering upon us, but rather the unredeemed world in which we must labor to do his will, the world in whose redemption we must share. So how do we share in the work of this redemption? And I think I must have had this phrase, share in the work of the redemption, maybe because I just read this book, I'm not sure. But how do we share in the work of redemption? Well, we follow Christ's lead. That's what we have to do. And one, how do we do that? We submit ourselves fully to his will. And even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asked if, you know, God could, you know, remove this cup or let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done, right? So even he's showing us that, like, it's okay to not really want what God has planned for us. But in the end, we have to remember that no matter how hard it's going to be, that God's will is always the very best for us. Will we see the fruits of that labor in our lifetime? We don't know. We don't know. But all we can do is trust that God's will is not just the best thing for us, but for the redemption of the world. So how do we unite ourselves with this redemption? Like I said, we follow his lead and we suffer right alongside of him. So, you know, if Jesus himself had to suffer, what makes us think that we're immune to that? You know, like, I think so often we just think that life should be carefree and there shouldn't be suffering. And if we have this God that loves us, why would he allow these horrible things to happen to us? But when we can offer up our suffering and unite ourselves to Christ in the Passion, we are part of that redemption. And when you fully submit and allow yourself to suffer and use it for God's greater glory, I really can't describe the peace and the freedom that comes from that. And if you went back to the first couple of episodes of this podcast, then you know the story of my son that was born with cancer. And I have to say, that was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And it might sound crazy to say that. And I still don't know what to say when people are like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, because he didn't die, or he did die, I'm sorry. If you didn't listen to those episodes, my son passed away at 4 months of age. And still, like, even like yesterday, you know, like, it's weird to have to say to people like, oh, I lost a child, you know, and then they say, oh, I'm so sorry. And you're like, and I still don't know what to say. It's been 15 years almost, and I don't know what to say, because I just think you have no idea what a blessing that entire way of the cross really was. Like, it was 4 months of really carrying the heaviest cross I've ever known. And yet, it was the most peaceful I've ever felt. And I think it's easy for me to surrender when it's completely out of my control. Like, there was nothing I could do to save this child or help this child. Like, I was completely it was up to the doctors and it was up to God. And I could do nothing except pray. And that was probably the first period of my life where I really dove deep into the rosary and just united my sorrows with those of the Blessed Mother. And she is a co-redeemer because she was so perfectly united with her child. And so we can go to her and we can unite our sorrows with hers. We can unite our sorrows with those of Jesus. We can place them at the foot of the cross. And we can offer them up for the suffering of other people. We can offer it up for others to have the strength to follow the will of God. I wish I could just shout it from the rooftops, like how freeing life becomes when you fully submit to the will of God. Is it what I would have chosen to lose my child? No, of course not. I wanted to be the mom of two boys, and that's what I got. And then it was taken from me. But God doesn't just like let you suffer. You know, he gifted me then three girls. So it's like he took one, but he gave me three more, you know. And now I can't even imagine not having three girls. It's just such a different household than I ever imagined. But it's incredible. It's an incredible life, you guys. And it's very hard to explain suffering. It's very hard to look at someone that you love that's suffering and to say, offer it up, suck it up, buttercup. It's all for God's greater glory. It's very hard to say that. And it's not really, I don't think it's very kind to say that. But if you don't feel that you can say that, you can pray that. You can offer up your suffering for your friend. You say, you know, so-and-so is suffering right now. And they probably are too in the weeds to be able to see God's hand at work here. So I'm going to offer this up for them. And that's how we can share in the work of redemption. Really, if everyone did the will of God, we would be perfectly reunited, you know, back to the original garden. But it's going to take all of us. And it begins with each of us saying yes. It begins with each of us taking up our cross. It begins with each of us emulating not just Jesus, but our Blessed Mother on the way to Calvary. I think a lot of times the Bible, the words are what they are and they give us great insight. But sometimes we have to look at what's not being said. And some of my favorite things about the Blessed Mother is that there's not a lot said about her. Really just a handful of passages. And yet on the road to Calvary, she's not flipping out. She's not screaming at Pontius Pilate about the injustices. She's not flipping out on the apostles that have deserted her son. She's just there in his suffering, united with him, sharing in the work of redemption. Because from the minute she said yes to the angel Gabriel, she was united. She was on a mission. And I encourage each one of you, as we enter into Holy Thursday, Good Friday, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just thinking about, how hard it's been, but how beautiful it's been. And
I just encourage you, as you head into this weekend, to just surrender. Whatever is going on in your life, trust that God is at work. Whatever is your suffering, just say, okay, God, this is what you want of me today, then I will suffer. I will suffer patiently. I will suffer joyfully. I will offer it up. I will unite it with yours. And see if the pain doesn't go away. See if you don't get some relief. See if you don't feel the peace that transcends all human understanding. All right, guys. Let us share in the work of redemption. If you want to read this book, He Leadeth Me by Walter Cizek, drop me a message and we can do a little book club. I'm sorry, I'm all sappy. I think I'm tired. And I've worked like all day on this podcast episode. So I hope it brings you some comfort. I hope that you can see your suffering a little bit through the lens of God and know that He will never, ever, ever take you where His grace will not sustain you. Okay? So just pray, hope, trust, right? As Padre Pio would say. Have a great day. I will see you Saturday for a 5-minute declutter with me. And if you would like to sign up for the next round of Pruning to Prosper, I will have that link in the show notes. Take care. The doors are open. The spring 2024 round of Pruning to Prosper is now open. So, ladies, if you are interested in running your home efficiently, with God at the center of it all, then this is the program for you. It is going to be Thursdays from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time, beginning April 18th. So it'll be April 18th through May 23rd on Thursdays, 10 to noon. And we will have daily accountability and group chats to support you. So it's less time than the winter session, and the price is also less. $200 for 6 weeks, 12 hours of coaching and live Zoom calls with me and accountability. So take advantage of the less time and the less cost for this round of Pruning to Prosper. Grab a friend. It's always more fun with a friend. And you are going to talk about who we call to be. We're going to declutter. We're going to work out that grocery budget of yours. We are going to get a meal plan for your family, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks for an entire month. We're going to talk about how we all feel overwhelmed, how we can implement some routines to make the overwhelm lessen. And finally, we're going to talk about finding our tribe, because we can't do this alone. We need our tribe of friends. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, please check the show notes for the sign up, and I will see you on April 18th. Take care.